Morning. How's everyone? Awake. I hope. That's good. Well, it's good to be here. Like Chris said, I was here last year with my boss, Kendra. She had flown in from Calgary to be with you, and I see a lot of familiar faces, so that's neat, and I can remember some of the names. And it was a really neat time to be here. I actually wanted to tell you that the work that goes on here with Operation Christmas Child, the shoeboxes that are packed from Gabriola, is really astounding for the size of the church, the size of the island. And as I've traveled across BC, I have used your church as an example to encourage other churches and to encourage other people in their work. And so I want to say a big thank you, because as people hear your story from the island, they're encouraged to do more, and they're just motivated. And so I wanted to let you know, you're inspiring people without even knowing it. And so I wanted to bring that to you. But it is good. This last year, we saw a record-breaking year with Operation Christmas Child, coast to coast in Canada. Yes, so you can celebrate that. That's 730,577 shoeboxes. Coast to coast. That is a huge number. It's hard to kind of wrap your mind around even what that looks like. And when we talk about it, and I'll talk about it in a few minutes, when we do a distribution, there's a 12-week follow-up discipleship program that takes place afterwards. The children are invited to participate in. And last year, again, through our Canadian shoeboxes and reporting, 106,433 children came to Christ. It's a revival like I don't know if I've ever heard of one like this. It's absolutely fantastic what God is doing. I have a simple mind, and so just to break that down for you, what that means is that for every 7 or 8 shoeboxes that are packed, prayed over, it represents one child coming to Christ. So one child's life being changed for eternity, you know, from walking in kind of death, eternal death, to eternal life. That is significant. And that is a major thing that's taking place. In May, I was able to be in, I was in Costa Rica on a distribution trip. I'll show you some of the highlights from that trip. But again, when we think about even just this church, just for a minute or two, and think about last year and celebrate what God did last year, 1,017 shoeboxes were from Gabriola. That represents 145 kids, children, real people, coming into the kingdom. And so, I mean, that is something that I hope that your heart's encouraged with, to talk to your neighbors, your friends, about just that God is really doing a significant work through Operation Christmas Child. So thank you so much. I want to just give a couple highlights of Samaritan's Purse for some of you that maybe aren't familiar with us, our organization. It's a non-denominational Christian organization providing spiritual and physical aid to victims of war, natural disasters, disease, famine, poverty, and persecution in more than 100 countries. We have a DC-8 that's on the ground in Haiti right now that was filled, a Samaritan's Purse plane that was filled with supplies to help the people dealing with the aftermath of all that's happening in Haiti right now. So that's significant. So crisis and disaster response, feeding programs, construction projects, and that's abroad, and that's also in Canada. In Canada, we have what we call 3 disaster response units, huge semi-trailer trucks that can respond to things that happen in Canada. So they were up in Fort McMurray during the fires over the summer. That's some of what's happening. And Operation Christmas Child, of course. And Operation Christmas Child is actually the largest project for Samaritan's Purse. I don't know if you knew that, but it is the largest one because of the size and scope of the ministry. So I get this question from time to time as I travel around talking to people in church and outside of the church. You know, why a shoebox gift? And the Bible says that, you know, in Mark, if you have a Bible and you want to open to Mark chapter 10, there's a great couple verses that I just want to highlight at the beginning of our talk this morning. Mark 10 and verse 13, and I'll read to verse 16. This is what it says. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. What an amazing picture of Jesus, our Lord, our shepherd, the great shepherd, being around kids. You know, how often are you around people that talk about kids in an annoying way, or you want to remove them? Jesus seems to be a little bit of the opposite. He wants them to come. Jen and I are expecting, so it's exciting. So these, I have to throw that in there. December 25th is the big day for us, so crazy, right? I know. Operation Christmas Baby, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good one. But you know, our minds are different now. We're thinking about children in a different way. I love reading those verses in the Bible that talk about Jesus just kneeling down, being with these children, showing them the love of the Father through his actions and talking to them. And, you know, Operation Christmas Child is such a tangible way to be a part of what those verses kind of highlight. So that's Mark chapter 10, and that's a command that Jesus gives to all of us. And so it's something to think about. At Samaritan's Purse, when I was first hired, they flew me to Calgary and had all these meetings and all these kind of things, meeting all kinds of great people. And they talked about shoeboxes as gospel opportunities. I remember that. Instead of saying the word shoebox, they just used gospel opportunity. And in one of the meetings, I actually felt a little bit embarrassed. I put my hand up and I just said, you know, can you explain to me how? I know you've hired me, but how are they gospel opportunities? My idea was that they go and just distribute the shoeboxes. And essentially, that was my understanding at that time. And they said, "Oh, Rick, great question. Want to tell you about it. They're gospel opportunities because after a distribution, the children are invited to come back to the greatest journey." That's what the 12-week discipleship program is called. In the greatest journey, that's where we're seeing all those lives changed, and all those children are actually getting connected into the local church. One of the pastors I met in Costa Rica in May, as we were leaving one of the sites, he actually grabbed my shoulder and he said, "Rick, you got to know, this has changed our church and changed this community." And I said, "Really?" And all our team had gone up onto the bus already. He goes, yeah, no, I just have to tell you. He says, "We know where these children live. We know their families. We care for them. We love them. And it's because of the greatest journey." That's what happened. That's what we're a part of, is changing lives that way. So it's pretty neat. Operation Christmas Child, the single greatest, is one of the greatest evangelistic outreaches in the world to children. So it really is a significant ministry. Like I said, in May I had the opportunity to go to Costa Rica on a distribution trip. There was about 23 Canadians. I co-led the team. The youngest was 14. The oldest was 67. And so we had a huge age range on this trip. And I remember being in the Houston airport, meeting most of them for the first time, kind of trying to figure out, was the trip going to work with such a huge demographic in age? And it was a great trip. Everyone got along real well. We didn't lose anybody. So that was a very big success, too. And it was a very neat thing. I just wanted to highlight a couple of the stories from that trip. And on the slides there, you'll see Costa Rica is a beautiful country. For those of you that haven't been, I just want to tell you that it is spectacular in geography, very tropical. I have been to a lot of different South American countries, and just a little bit. It's for the slides. Okay. Thank you. I thought the power was going out. But it is. It's a beautiful country. The foliage is phenomenal. Flora, the fauna, all that kind of stuff. And so just giving you a little bit of a highlight on the left there. But you also see the road. The infrastructure in Costa Rica is actually very good. The education system in Costa Rica is very good. A lot of people probably on our end in North America would look at Costa Rica as maybe a third world country. That's not the case. They're a developing nation. And they are very proud of the fact that they are a developing nation. In fact, talking to them, you get that sense of pride of their country. And many conversations I had with them were talking about how their country is growing and changing for good. And we want to be like Canada in so many ways. That's what they told our team. And that was neat. What I noticed with the people that is different from other countries around is that they reminded me of Canadians right off the bat. Just very generous, warm, welcoming. Traveling, you need to have street smarts for sure, and so sometimes you have those walls built up. Different situation in Costa Rica. I can't explain it. It was just completely different, beautiful. And you really get a sense of the joy in their faces of some of these children, and such a sense of gratitude as well when we were at the distributions with the children. So just to kind of to paint a picture a little bit off the top of, you know, what Costa Rica is like. A lot of people want to know, what does a distribution look like? I like to say they look different in every location that we go, whether it's in Africa, South America, Costa Rica. On the left, you'll see a picture of a distribution, and that was at a church, a community, small community. And then on the right-hand side, it's a picture of Isaac, and that was at a community center. And what we do, the children come for a program. We hide the shoeboxes. They actually don't know that there's shoeboxes there. And so they're coming to this amazing program, and they do a gospel presentation. There's games, there's all kinds of fun stuff. And then they unveil these shoeboxes. And let me tell you, the volume goes through the roof. Many of them have never received a gift like this before in their life. And so as we hand them out, you know, as you pack a shoebox, there's those different age ranges. In the picture on the left, you can kind of see there's lines. And we line them up, boys and girls, in those age ranges so that we can hand the shoeboxes out in a little bit of an orderly fashion. But we always get them to put the box above their head. And so, and at right at the end, we say, gracias Dios, like, thank you, God. And then they get to open them. And some of them, I kid you not, rip the boxes in half, the older boys. Like, I couldn't believe that was even possible. Because afterwards, I was looking around, and there were shoeboxes in half. And the kids were so excited with all the things that were in it. I want to tell you about the story of Isaac on the right-hand side. This was a smaller distribution. It was the community center. Like I said, it was actually our first one. Didn't know what to expect. That day, it was probably 45 degrees. It was not very humid in it, so it was hot. So we were under this tent, and because not as many people showed up that as were expected to show up, we got to sit right across from a child, and I got to sit across from Isaac. And in my broken Spanish, you know, said who I was, and he talked a little bit, and you know, you just play little games and all stuff. You just try and break the language barrier as best you can. They went through the presentation, and I know that a lot of the boxes packed, or most of them from the island here, are plastic, or a lot of them, I think, have been in the past, plastic shoeboxes. People like to pack those ones. Well, let me tell you, when that box was put in Isaac's hand, he could start to see what's inside of it. And he was going crazy. Like, he just wanted to get right in. You can see the customs tape, the white Samaritan's purse tape on the side. Very hard to get off if you're a little boy or girl. So we need to help them with that. But, I mean, he was so excited. And he was just, I wanted to get in there. And his mom was probably 20 feet away. And he was kept yelling to his mom and saying, Mom, like, you got it. This is amazing. And so I'm getting like really excited because, again, this is the first distribution I've ever been at. What's going to happen? And so I helped him take the tape off and let him open the top, and he just started going through that box. But what was significant about this story for me was there were great things in that box. He rifled in with his left hand, and he just, boom, he had seen something, and he just like, boom. And grabbed it and just started yelling for his mom. And he's waving his arm and he's yelling. And his mom runs over through everybody and he shows her, and it's a toothbrush. And he goes, Mom, I have a toothbrush. And I'm sitting, I took that picture, I'm sitting that close, and his mom said, "Isaac, that's amazing. You have your own toothbrush." And I had heard of stories like this where something simple for us, like from Canada, would make a significant impact. I didn't expect it to happen, to be perfectly honest. Oh, ye of little faith. It happened on day one. And time again, to be honest, this is no exaggeration, that same story happened multiple times. And Isaac and his toothbrush, I'll never forget it. And I'll never forget his mom's face either. They experienced the love of God like I don't know if they had before at this community center. Absolutely an amazing experience. It's something that, I mean, I'm at the dentist probably too often, to be just honest with you. They always ask, "Would you like a toothbrush?" That question actually is a lot different now. Say, "Yes, absolutely. I take as many as I can," and my dentist office is coming on board to donate toothbrushes now. So great things are happening. One of the things you may notice, and if you've talked to anybody from our staff or have talked to people on a trip, is you'll probably recognize pretty quickly that the need is very great. The need is great in Costa Rica, the need's great around the world for children to experience the love of God, to experience hope and joy and all these things, to experience the gospel, the good news. And so I wanted just to highlight that, to remind people to, you know, even this year, to maybe pack one extra shoebox. Because I was talking to a pastor 2 weeks ago, and she said to me, she goes, "You know, it's interesting, when God challenges us and we're stretched, it's often in that moment when we're stretched and we don't think we can do it where God meets us." And so she said, she had just got back from a trip to Senegal on a distribution trip. She said, "So I challenge people, maybe try one more," or something like that. The need's great. So 1993 is kind of when everything started for Operation Christmas Child. Since then, we've collected and delivered over 135 million shoeboxes. Even just logistically, that sounds like, wow, how do they do that? I'm still learning, but it's quite an operation. In India, just to give you an example again, in India alone, from where this picture was taken, there's over 440 million children under the age of 14. If everyone in Canada packed one shoebox a year, it would take over 12 years to reach all the children of India who are alive today. So that just, again, is a great reminder, right, for us that, yes, the need is great. These are good examples. Sometimes we can just turn on the news or read it on the phone. Yes, the need is great in the world, absolutely. Back to Costa Rica, one of the places we went was kind of further out from our base where we were staying, so we're pretty remote in these two pictures. In fact, on the picture on the left, you'll just see our bus that we traveled with in the team there, and a building to the right, kind of corrugated tin and cinder block. That was a community center for the community there. And the children were coming again there that day to a children's event, a program. Again, they didn't know that was shoeboxes there. They just knew there was going to be, they were told, a special surprise. And then this group of 23 Canadians showed up, and we walked in, and they all looked at us, and there was about 150 or so of them with their mums and babies everywhere. They looked at us that day as the special surprise. We realized that actually as we were walking in the back, because we could hear what they had been saying. And they were so excited. There was people from Canada coming to visit them. The reason that's significant is because the children in this picture are from an area, a slum in Costa Rica, called the Cheap Chicken Slum. That's literally what it was called. We were going to go and visit them in that area. They said it wasn't safe for us to be there, so we were able to just be with them that day. But these are the children from the Cheap Chicken Slum who even Costa Ricans look down on. They could not believe that this special surprise was people from somewhere far away coming to see them. They experienced the love of God again just in us being there. But it's hard not to cry your eyes out when you realize, when everything's setting in real time, like, oh my goodness, this is amazing to be here, but also what a privilege, what an honor to be here. So we took them all hand by hand out to this field and played with them. Some of the girls did girly things, you know, nails, hair, all that, Brett's. I don't have any of that, so I don't know. I was with the guys playing soccer, trying to learn a little bit of more Spanish kind of on the way. And when we brought the children back inside, this is when they were told, actually, there's a second surprise. There's another special surprise. So again, especially here, this is when the mums, you could hear the mums talking, like that went up. The whole room just started echoing, like, what? And we went up to the front, and all the shoeboxes were all on this wall, covered in black tablecloths and things like that, and we unveiled them for them. And I tell you, it's really hard to describe the sound, the sight, the excitement of what was happening. And again, for a lot of them, especially here, you know, to receive a gift like that is just unbelievable. And so it was a blessing. And that's probably when I realized that the shoeboxes that we pack here, they're so much more than just a simple shoebox. They really are a gospel opportunity. These children that you see get invited back to the greatest journey. They get invited back to hear about Jesus through a 12-week discipleship program. So that's like that's a three-month discipleship program. And they often bring their friends. They often actually bring their parents. Loads of stories now we're starting to hear more and more of the children's lives being changed in such a way that their parents start going to the church and end up coming to know Christ as well. So the children are leading their parents to the Lord in this evangelistic effort that is just changing the face of communities and changing the face of countries. So just to highlight again kind of these outreach events like I just kind of talked about at with these great, amazing people who live in the cheap chicken slum. Last year, over 60,000 outreach events. We have national leadership teams who work in receiving countries. So when we arrived in Costa Rica, we met the national leadership team. Their role in that country is to train pastors, leaders in churches, to host distributions and to host the greatest journey. The distributions and the greatest journey go hand in hand. And so that's what they do. So those are our ministry partners on the ground, and we train them so that they do the ministry. We equip them to do the ministry, and I think that's pretty important. There's a gospel presentation. They're offered a greatest gift booklet, which talks about, it basically goes through the gospel story, and the Apostle John is the narrator throughout that. But really significant work is happening with our national leadership team. They're the real heroes. They're unsung heroes of doing the Lord's work. When we met them, some of them were unemployed because the job situation in Costa Rica, but they are so on fire for the Lord and for the gospel that they are going out, they're training, they're in public schools, doing the greatest journey and distributions in public schools, full out proclamations of the gospel in Costa Rica. They're in churches. It's happening everywhere. And so, you know, hopefully kind of through some of our time together, your heart's encouraged to know that there are great things happening. That's what I wanted to kind of highlight. Here again is a couple on the left is another distribution. It was more like a school day home, daycare type program. So just jam-packed, and of course there's people all around both sides. And on the right-hand side, that is, we were at a church that was already doing the greatest journey. And that was just one group that had broken away with the children. They had already received shoeboxes. So this is kind of probably partway through. We got to kind of listen in to the teachers who had already been trained to lead the greatest journey. These children have memorized verses. And let me just see. I don't know if it's hard to see there, but the leader of that group went around right at the end and just said, do you guys know what your Bible verses are? And one by one, they started reciting the Bible like nobody's business. I couldn't believe it. They lived in the community all around, hadn't been a part of the church before. They were so excited because after someone would say the verse, everyone would clap and high-five them, and the boys were a little more shy. But let me tell you, there are some neat things happening with discipleship through the greatest journey. This is just one that highlights, the greatest gift booklet. It's in 77 languages, so our teams are translating them as fast as we can. 11 scripture stories is what's included about Jesus in that booklet. So again, actually, I wasn't going to share this story, but I'm going to share a story that it just came to me and probably the Lord put it on my heart. So let's go for it. These distributions, there's so much excitement happening when they have the shoebox, right? They have it. They know that they're going to be getting something. They don't know what it is. Their parents are excited. You can hear them yelling across the room. And every child opens a box differently. That's what I realized. I thought most would just kind of be like ripping them open and like breaking them in half, kind of like I had seen. The one distribution I was at, I remember it because of how it happened. And the way that they worked it is they did the gospel presentation. They offered the children the greatest gift booklet. They handed those all out. The kids can say no if they want, but most of them received it that day. And this boy beside me, like, he was just thrilled. Like, he was just like, wow. The way he was looking at it looked like his eyes were huge. Then we handed out the shoeboxes. And then we did, gracias Dios, gracias Dios. And everyone is opening shoeboxes. And I looked over, right beside me is this little boy. His shoebox was still beside him. He was going to open it, but he couldn't put down the greatest gift booklet. It's in Spanish. I can read in Spanish. I don't know what it all means. I started reading it to him. But he just could not put down this gift, and it's talking about Jesus. And I thought, what a great picture and a reminder of the power of the gospel, drawing people. Isn't that incredible? That was something that was a really neat thing that happened on our trip. So the greatest journey, again, that's the game changer for me. There's so many neat stories that are happening through the greatest journey, through the discipleship program that's taking place. It teaches children how to know Christ and to grow in faith. So really those two things, know Christ, grow in faith, how we do that. It encourages the children at the end to also be praying for their friends, praying for their family who maybe don't know Jesus at this stage. And also what I like to tell people is that a lot of churches who have a distribution, they're excited for a lot of different reasons, but one of them is also the discipleship materials that we use, that Samaritan's Purse has created for the greatest journey. Many of the churches, they haven't received formal training, gone to school, that sort of thing, like maybe we're accustomed to in North America, you know, a seminary, Bible school, that sort of stuff. And just financially don't have the means to even make photocopies. And that hit home to me. I had a privilege to go for lunch with a man named Raul, and he used to be a pastor in the Bahamas. And I actually asked him, how do you be a pastor in the Bahamas? Because that sounds pretty nice. But he said he was out in the hills and in his little community, and his church, he had signed on with Samaritan's Purse to have a Operation Christmas Child distribution. He said they came in, the national leadership team, they trained them, they gave them the discipleship materials for the greatest journey. And he said for the rest of the years that I was pastor there, 10 years I think, he used this material to disciple his entire church year after year after year. Because he said, Rick, you don't realize we couldn't go to the photocopier and make a photocopy because there wasn't one, but also there was no money. And then with the material they were given from Samaritan's Purse, it equipped the church to disciple the people there and the community. He said our community was totally changed. So he said, make sure you tell people when you go back to Canada, let them know what's happening. So it's kind of a neat thing to hear, kind of the spin-off, right? It gives you an idea that God is so much bigger than sometimes what the box that we put him into. The end of the 12-week discipleship program, it culminates in a big graduation celebration. The children receive a Bible. They receive a graduation certificate. Lots of places around the world will even create graduation caps for the children. For some, and this is an important thing to think about from our standpoint, for some, this might be the only graduation the child is ever at. Of course, that's not our heart. But that's the reality of where we are working in some of these areas. And so the Greatest Journey graduation we were able to be a part of one, and they wear their best clothes. Their parents are so thrilled. I met so many because the kids were all lining up, and so I was amongst the parents. They couldn't believe it. They were just so excited to have their kid walk down. And this church had found the graduation, that classic movie, grad music. So when we walked down the aisle holding their hands, that music was playing. And it is a special moment, I tell you. When they get that certificate, they get that Bible. That Bible might be the first Bible that's been introduced into their home and to their family. Again, just the beginning. And just again, you can just kind of see, you know, the boy that I was with was a little bit shy, but you look at the right and this girl was just thrilled and just beaming ear to ear, right? And so really kind of, again, neat thing what's happening. Now, Chris said that I can speak till 3, is that right? A couple more stories for you, and really, again, just want to highlight just a couple of few things. When we take a team on any distribution trip, one of the neat things, the privileges of people on that trip is just to bring your own shoebox. You're going to have the opportunity to distribute your own shoebox. And so I'd been told about that. I'd heard many stories. And this boy on the left, his name's Isaac, you know, just like the first boy. And what we tell people at the beginning of the trip is, you know what, just ask the Lord to kind of highlight the day for you that's going to be the day where you hand out your shoebox. So I had started praying, and I was expecting the lightning bolt moment, like, God, show me which exact day. That never happened. The last day came, and I thought, well, it has to be today. And so I brought the shoebox, my shoebox, on the bus with us. And just try to interact outside when we were playing, through soccer, through some the parachute, all kinds of stuff, football. And Isaac and I were just having a great time. Like, we were high-fiving each other. He was scoring goals on me, and all it was just lots of fun. And so I thought, I'm going to give my shoebox to Isaac. I feel like this is who I packed it for. And so, like a lot of people, you know, you pack your shoebox like a Tetris game, trying to fit as many things in as possible, trying to make it fit and all that kind of stuff. And so, again, fast forward to when it was time to give the shoeboxes out, I said, Isaac, I actually packed one for you specifically just for you. And so he said, okay. So shoebox above the head, gracias Dios, gracias Dios. And another thing we tell teams is that when you especially are giving your shoebox away, like, you are super pumped. Like, you're so excited. You know what's in it. You know why you put each thing in it. But you go at the pace of the child. The child sets the pace for experiencing the shoebox, experiencing the love of God, really, in a really tangible way. And so Isaac and I were there, and he had the shoebox in front of him. And you know, he just kind of looked, he was a guy that just kind of looked at it. And everyone's like screaming and jumping and doing all kinds of stuff. And Isaac and I are just in our own little moment. It was like no one else was in the room that day. And you know, he had a hard time with the tape. I helped him. And minutes had gone by. Like, some kids already were running around. Isaac's still looking at his box, and I'm thinking, go at the pace of the child, go at the pace. Like, and he just opens the lid, and on the top I had put some Hot Wheels cars, but upside down, so the cardboard was face up, right, so it would fit better. And his eyes went really big, and he just started like this, just touching the cardboard, like, and he just was like, wow, And probably in the 5 or 10 minutes that we were there, he and I probably said 3 words, totally different from when we were outside. And I started to realize the longer he did that, that he was like, wow, this cardboard he thought was the gift. This is, and I'm like, oh, like, it's just like, oh, my heart. So I just very slowly just lifted the corner so you could see the shine of the red, it was just a red car. And just, whoa, like he just blown away. And again, no words. And just very carefully he placed it out and he couldn't believe it. And there was two and went through all these other things. And it was in the nicest pile you've ever seen, made by a little boy. At the bottom of the box, I had put a little drawstring bag. It was made by, this is a side story, but a prison, a men's prison out in the valley. They're sewing drawstring bags. Quality is through the roof. And so I had put this bag in, and they're doing incredible work. And so Isaac then, one by one, opened this drawstring bag and carefully put everything back in. And he was looking at me and then looking at this. I'm like, yeah, like just cheering him on. And he stood up and drew it, and it was probably as high as he is tall. And his mom yelled, like called for him, and then he was gone. And I was just kind of left sitting there cross-legged on the floor and just kind of trying to figure out, like, what just happened? It's like what just happened? And so I was like, and they just left, and everything was still going on inside. There was a lot of different things happening, but the family had decided, like, we're out of here. And so I was like, I need to see them one more time. And so I ran out the side, and I talked to the mom, and she's holding her daughter's bag behind her. But I said, I just want you to know that God loves you. God bless you. Dios le bendiga. Can I take your picture so I can keep praying for you? And she said, absolutely. So you see them just, you know, big smiles. And then I thanked them, and they walked down the path and around the corner. And that was it. And I was just kind of on my own outside trying to figure out, God, what are you doing? How are you using this as a gospel opportunity? I was trying to process it all because it's such a powerful moment. It was a powerful experience. And I walked back in, and it was later on the way back, when we were on the bus on the way back to where we were staying, God reminded me of something that had happened last year in November in North Vancouver. I was at North Shore Alliance Church at a collection center. People are bringing their shoeboxes in. And, you know, I like to thank people. Thanks for packing a shoebox. You know, how did you pack a shoebox? And a mom came in with two little girls. And so I'm high-fiving the kids and giving them balloon stickers. How did you pack a shoebox? And the story is that this Christian family adopted these beautiful girls from Colombia. They were probably about 10 and 12 when I met them last year. And what the story is that when they were about 4 and 6, in Colombia, they were at a Samaritan's Purse distribution, Operation Christmas Child, and had received shoeboxes. And I'm like, no way, like, that's insane, like, that's incredible. And the mom said, what's incredible is that these girls still have the gifts from their shoebox. And when we adopted them, they started talking about shoeboxes. And we didn't know what they were talking about. And then we realized, then they put two and two, they found out what it was. And the girls have been packing shoeboxes ever since. And I thought, and it was a good reminder that God gave me that day on the way back to where we were staying, because it's true, isn't it, that God does work in so many ways. He works in incredible ways, ways outside the box. And so my heart is to remember to pray for them and pray for Isaac, that he gets connected to the church through the greatest journey, that he comes to know the Lord. And God is sovereign on this side of the shoebox. He's sovereign on that side of the shoebox as well. And it's a great, great thing to remember. Just kind of as we're kind of wrapping up, I wanted to show just again where we as Canadians are sending our shoeboxes this year. We're sending, actually, this shows 12 countries. There's an extra one this year, Gambia, which is just north of Guinea-Bissau on the west coast of Africa. So it kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of where our Canadian ones are going. So South America, west coast of Africa, again, Ukraine this year, which is really good. 97,705 shoeboxes were collected in BC last year. I'm hoping this year that we break the 100,000 mark. I think from what I've been told, looks like it's going to be a strong possibility this year. And because I'm appropriately competitive, I'd love to lead the country one day. So let's pray with me on that one. The Ukraine last year, just over 16,000 shoeboxes we sent. You can do that again this year. You can go online. You have to print a special Ukraine label so that when the shoeboxes are processed, they will know to set them aside for the Ukraine. Canadians know cold weather, right? Gloves, mitts, those are great things to put into shoeboxes. And again, this just kind of highlights the scope, the size and scope of what we're a part of. Now, I've talked a little bit this morning about the Greatest Journey and the discipleship program. Here's our, from our ministry partners on the ground, this is what they report back to us. And the top line is, I'll just talk about it quickly because I have updated numbers from just a few weeks ago. And so teachers trained year to date is actually 12,363. Enrolled in the Greatest Journey, 383,565. Graduated, 129,919. Decisions for Christ, 114,101 children this year alone. Amazing. God's good. Amen? Amen. And just over 102,645 children are praying for their friends regularly. They're praying for their family to come to know the Lord. How incredible is that? And it's amazing. So just what can we do? You know, what is it all about? Is get started. Year-round volunteers in Canada. There's over 700 year-round volunteers who work with Samaritan's Purse in Operation Christmas Child to spread the news, to connect with churches, connect with businesses. There are a lot of businesses actually that participate in distributing shoeboxes for us. There's Walmarts, there's people distributing shoeboxes in Tim Hortons up in Prince George at the drive-thru. There's amazing things happening with our year-round volunteers. Pack a box. You know, decide, how do you do that? Decide the age, gender. I get a question a lot, who's the ones that we need the most? You know, like of that age demographic, 10 to 14 boys is the one that's probably the hardest to pack for. So I encourage people to pack shoeboxes for that demographic. Some people now are putting letters and photos, pictures of the family in. Very powerful, very moving experience being there with our translators who are translating in real time a letter written by a Canadian family for a child. Makes it super personal right away, and if they have put any kind of address or anything, our teams will take a picture and as best they can try and find those people back in Canada to let them know that, hey, we were there, we handed out your shoebox, make the connection that way. That happened quite a few times on our trip, and it's made me think that that's something that we want to do this year. It says wow item, and that's just maybe some unique, maybe a unique item for that child that God's placing on your heart. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it can just be maybe something that's just personal, something that's unique. Lots of stories about how God is working that way. Chris talked about Collection Week. National Collection Week, there it is the 14th to the 20th. Another easy way to remember it, it's always the third week of November. Always the third week in November. So there's over 500 locations across Canada to drop off shoeboxes. There's a locator online, but again, on the island here, it's pretty nice and easy, which is good. From here, where do they go? They go to Calgary. We have a big processing center. A big warehouse where the shoeboxes end up. And we have over 22,000 volunteers that serve in Calgary as well as in a temporary warehouse in Waterloo. Again, huge number. Jen and I were volunteering there last year. We met people from the East Coast of Canada who had taken time out of work to fly to Calgary to help process shoeboxes, pay their own way, food, hotel, just to volunteer, be a part of it. We met a 94-year-old couple who their thing is to volunteer for one shift every year together, the same little pod, beautiful. WestJet employees, Calgary police, all kinds of volunteers come in. The big thing too is that we maintain the integrity of every shoebox. That's, you got to hear that. We maintain the integrity of every shoebox. So as you've prayed and thought about packing it, that's how we want the child to receive it. What I mean by processing a shoebox is that the money is removed in Calgary, right, for shipping, the $7. Some people put more, some people put less. So the money is removed. If there's anything that breaks a customs regulation, it needs to come out. That can prevent us from actually getting into certain countries. It's a big deal. So, but Samaritan's Purse receives gift in kind donations year round from all over the country. An amazing, like shoes, like Crocs, you know those shoes, Crocs? There's a similar kind of shoe like that. I think it was Skechers or someone, 10 or 20,000 or so were donated, I think, last year. So shoeboxes that were maybe had extra space, they're topped up. But as you've packed it, that's how it's received. There's no mix and mingle thing going on. So just a good thing to keep in your mind. And then from there, they head out on ships, airplanes. There's helicopters that drop them off. There's dugout canoes. There's donkeys. There's camels that deliver shoeboxes. 11 million shoeboxes from 10 sending countries to over 100 countries. Again, it kind of gives you the size, the scope of the ministry, the scale is there's so much more going on, isn't there? And it's a real blessing to be a part of. And kind of the last thing is just that, you know, it's true, isn't it? It all starts with us and kind of where we're at and what we're up to and what God's doing in our heart. I'd encourage you to be thinking about shoeboxes maybe from this point forward, if you haven't already, just as gospel opportunities. That here's a real opportunity on this side of the shoebox, on Gabriola in Canada, to pack a shoebox, to pray for the child that's going to receive it, and ask that the Lord works through the national leadership teams, the people on the ground who are going to be going through the greatest journey with them, that they remember that it is a gospel opportunity. Children's lives are being changed for eternity. And Lord, help me not forget how amazing that is. I mean, that is a game changer. That's the real deal. You know, sometimes we do things so often they can lose the power and impact. Try just to, this year, just to be like, just pumped up, high five people, and just find that excitement again, if it maybe has waned a little bit. But again, maybe packing a shoebox is something that's a little bit kind of hard to do. You can actually do it online, packabox.ca, because of those gifting kinds that we receive. As orders are put in online, our team in Calgary will pack a shoebox online for you with all those neat things. So God's doing great things through Operation Christmas Child. It really is a privilege to serve in this ministry. I love talking to people. I love sharing the stories. Obviously, I could go on and on, but I want to be mindful of the time this morning. But it really is true to think about the shoebox as so much more, isn't it? It really is so much more than just, you know, red and green cardboard. God can use that to change a life for eternity. So thank you again for letting us be here to speak, to share some highlights. But why don't we pray together this morning? Father, we just want to thank you for today again. We thank you for all the good things that are happening in this world. Often, Father, it's easy to be discouraged by the stories that we see in the news or hear about in the newspapers. But God, through all of that, we know that there are so many more great things that you're doing in this world. And to be a part of that is such a privilege. And Father, I pray that you would inspire our hearts and encourage us, even this morning, to even just be thinking of that picture again of Jesus with the children, coming to him and blessing them and just sharing that love. And help us to see that these shoeboxes are a real tangible piece of what it means to share that love, that hope with a child. So we thank you for today. We thank you that you're here with us. We pray for this week that you'd continue to go before us and bless us in our time and in our week. In Jesus' name, amen.